All right, if you want to be able to start turning someplace, we're going to begin tonight in the book of Acts. The book of Acts chapter 22 is probably the first place I'm going to have you turn. Acts 22. I said last week, I want to continue, it's in your handout, that one of the most significant events in the Word of God, get this blank in your handout, one of the most significant events in your Bible is the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, later known as the apostle who?
Paul.
And you say, why do you say that's one of the most significant events? Well, there are three detailed accounts of his salvation experience. Three detailed accounts. Now, I don't know that I've spent a lot of time thinking about it, but off the top of my head, can you all think of anybody else in the Bible where God gives you detailed accounts of their conversion? Three of them? I can't. I mean, I'm talking about large chunks of Scripture that are dedicated to that. So, I mean, obviously, if God spent that much time on that event, it's really important. Amen? I mean, it's just important that you get that, you know, and that you understand what an important event that is. It marks something, you know, it's important in your Bible. And it, of course, it's found in Acts chapter 9, the first time that God tells us about it in Acts chapter 9. And it's just very, very important. Now, Paul, the apostle, gave us 13 books of the New Testament. Can anybody tell me what books those are? Begin with what book? Romans, and it goes 13 books all the way through what? Philemon, that's right. And so he wrote more books than any other New Testament author. Also, a lot of the book of Acts details Paul's salvation and his ministry. The question that I want to answer here for the next few weeks is this: why is Paul in the Bible? I mean, if Christ already had 12 apostles that he had trained for 3 years, why was there a need for Paul? Why is there a need for some other apostle to come on the scene? I mean, Wasn't Peter and the 12 doing okay? I mean, weren't they trained? Weren't they equipped? Couldn't God just deal through them? Why do the 12 kind of fade into relative obscurity in the book of Acts, and then all of a sudden this new apostle dominates the scene? Why does Paul show up? And why doesn't Peter and the 12 remain the focus there in the book of Acts? And like I said last week, this is a question that I think goes unasked and unanswered in most churches today. People don't understand. And the thing is this, until you understand the distinct message in the ministry of Paul, you're never going to be able to rightly divide the Bible. Okay, now, like I said, if God gave three detailed, long accounts of his conversion, then it's important. And we need to understand that God was beginning to do something. Now, let me give you this in your handout. Number one, last week, why is Paul in the Bible? Well, number one, Paul was given divine truth that had previously been kept what?
Secret.
That's right. It had previously been kept secret. Paul received divine revelation that nobody previously knew anything about. Now, the 12, we studied this out. You can get the notes online. The 12 apostles had been well-schooled in God's prophetic plan. The prophetic plan, basically, which is all through the Old Testament, Christ reinforced it, is that Israel would be converted, the nation of Israel. They'd be born again. Christ would return. He would rule as Israel's king. Israel would be a kingdom of priests on the earth. Israel's kingdom would be restored. And through this kingdom of priests, Israel, then they would in turn be the vehicle through which the Gentile nations would have the knowledge of God and of Christ as Messiah and His King. So the 12 knew that plan, all right? They knew it. They were anxiously awaiting its fulfillment. They knew, though, that the prophetic plan had to begin with the conversion of Israel. They knew that's where it had to start. Until Israel was converted, the prophetic plan could not kick into gear. That's what kicked it off, was the conversion of Israel. So what'd they do? Well, in the early part of Acts, we studied this out last week, they worked feverishly, they worked diligently, they worked hard towards the conversion of Israel, beginning with Jerusalem, as they were instructed. And they were preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and they were preaching Christ as the risen Messiah to the nation of Israel. And we saw this. But we said last week, hidden in God was a mystery time period that God didn't reveal to anybody. He didn't reveal it to Peter, James, John, the 12. He didn't reveal it to anybody. And this, he didn't reveal it to Mary, his mother. This wasn't revealed to anybody until finally this secret time of grace that God was going to offer to the world was revealed to who? Somebody tell me, who was it revealed to? Paul. And Paul called it the dispensation of the grace of God. A mystery time period that God revealed to Paul by direct revelation of Jesus Christ. So we'll go to the screen here, if we could bring up the chart. You've got the life of Christ on earth. The 12 apostles communed with Christ on earth. Of course, He died upon the cross, rose from the dead, He ascended back up to heaven. The 12 apostles go out after the resurrection. They proclaim the kingdom gospel to Israel. They're in Acts 1 through 7. Paul is saved here in Acts 9. And then Paul is taught the gospel of grace from Christ in heaven. So the apostles, the 12, are taught on earth because what they were taught involved the earth. So therefore, they were taught from Christ on earth because their good news they were taught was about Israel and the kingdom that was to come on earth. Christ taught them that on earth. That's significant. He taught them what He taught them on earth, because it was an earthly promise of this kingdom for Israel, the prophetic plan. But Paul was taught his message by Christ from heaven. And He appeared to Paul through a series of revelations. And He appeared to Paul, and he revealed to Paul the gospel of grace and this present church age, the dispensation of grace that we live in today. And here's what God revealed. The prophetic, if we can go to the next chart, God's prophetic program is the name of this chart. And back here, the prophetic program begins. It begins to be revealed. And it's clicking right along. But then, of course, when the apostles went out and offered that kingdom to Israel, they rejected it. Well, hidden in God from the foundation of the world was this secret time period right here, God's mystery program that we're living in, where God would bestow His grace and offer His grace to Jew and Gentile without, on an equal basis, okay, without reservation. He would offer His grace on an equal basis to everybody in the world. And this was a mystery, and this is what was revealed to Paul. And during this time period that we're living in, the prophetic program, which involves Israel and the conversion of Israel and all that, what happened? Well, right now, the prophetic program is what? It's been interrupted, see, by this mystery time period of grace. Is God done with the prophetic program? Is He forever done with Israel? Yes or no? Well, no, of course not. He's going to pick right up, fulfill all those promises that He made to them. Here, the prophetic program will resume when we're called out at the rapture. And God's wrath will come. Israel will be purged. They will repent. A remnant will turn to Christ. Christ will come back to the earth, and He'll deliver that remnant of Israel, and they will enter into this kingdom on earth, and the prophetic program will be fulfilled. But what I want you to see on the chart here is that this parenthesis is like a timeout. Okay, it's an interruption to the prophetic program. You and I are living in this timeout. We're living in this time where it's been interrupted. This right here, this was revealed to the Apostle Paul. Peter didn't know about it. The 12 didn't. It was revealed to Paul. So we're beginning to understand why Paul's in the Bible. We're beginning to understand that there was a deposit of truth that had been kept secret that God gave to Paul, and which he in turn then gave to faithful men who would be able to teach others also. So that's exciting. Now, let's go to number 2 in your handout. Number 2, why Paul? Well, Paul was given the special office of Gentile apostleship. He was given the special office of Gentile apostleship. It says in your handout, a Gentile is anyone that is not a Jew. Now, can anybody tell me what was Paul? Was he a Jew or a Gentile? Write that in your handout. Paul himself was a Jew. And so, you know, his burden was for his people to repent and to turn to Christ and to recognize Christ as their Messiah. Paul wanted to see that. And right after Paul was converted to Christ, you know what Paul did? Paul hightailed it to Jerusalem for the purpose of seeking to convert his people, the nation of Israel, to Christ. Now, in Paul's mind, this made perfect sense, right? I mean, here's Paul, who was the ringleader of the persecution against Christ's followers. Here's Paul, who was the enemy of Christians. Here's Paul, who was the enemy of Christ. Here's Paul, who had jailed and beaten and done all kinds of atrocities towards Christians. And now all of a sudden, he's converted. So what is he thinking in his mind, Pastor Todd? He's thinking, I'm the logical guy to go and bring this conversion to Israel, because they're going to be convinced when they see that I've seen Christ, that I can attest that Peter and James and John and the 12, they're right. They're right. And I saw Christ myself. I've been converted to Christ. So he's thinking, man, that makes perfect sense. I'm going to go back to Jerusalem. Which, by the way, Jerusalem was the place. He was on the Damascus Road. He was going to, the Bible says, to arrest Christians. He was on his way to arrest Christians, and he was going to bring them bound back to Jerusalem. So he's thinking, okay, I got these letters from the high priest. I'm going to go. I'm going to arrest these Christians. I'm going to bring them back to Jerusalem. He's thinking, man, I'm going to ride into town, and instead of having any Christians bound, I'm going to tell them all, Christ is alive. Sounds like a pretty good plan, right? Made perfect sense to everybody but God. Have you ever come up with a plan that made perfect sense to you? And God had some other thoughts. Have you ever had that happen? It happened to Paul. Look at Acts 22. I'll show it to you. Let's go ahead and go there. Acts 22, and notice verse 5. As also the high priest, Paul's giving his testimony here, okay? And he's doing it. He's recounting his conversion before a multitude of people here in Jerusalem. Verse 5, as also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. So Paul was heading to Damascus, arrest Christians, take them back to Jerusalem to have them punished. And when Paul gets this idea, I'm going to go to Jerusalem and I'm going to tell them about my conversion to Christ and I'm going to convert Israel, you know, great, grandiose plan and idea. Well, to his amazement, look what Christ says to him. Go to Acts 22 and look down at verse 18. Well, go up to verse 17. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and saw him saying unto me, now listen to this, church, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And Paul kind of argues with the Lord a little bit. Look at verse 19. And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. So Paul's like, but you know, Jesus, the stage is set for me to go in and do this work. And look down at verse 21. And he said unto me, what's the word? Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. In your handout, it says that God made it clear that he had another purpose for Paul. God would send him to the Gentiles with special revelation, which we saw under point number one and we discussed last week. Go to Acts let's go over to Acts 26, chapter 26. Here we get Paul gets a little hint here as to what he was going to be doing and the purpose that the Lord had for him. It wasn't to convert Israel, like the prophetic plan called for. Acts 26, 16. But rise, Christ said, and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. Here we go. To make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. Notice, right when he got saved, Christ let him know there'd be a series of appearances by Christ. That appearance by Christ wasn't the only appearance when he got saved, Pastor Larry. He let him know there would be a series of appearances. There was a series of revelations that Paul got. Now look at the next verse, verse 17. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. So Paul, Jesus said, I'm going to send you to the Gentiles. Why? Verse 18. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now let me explain to you, if I could just have your attention, we're not going to write for a little bit. Here's what happened in the years after this, after Paul got converted. Here's what happened. He kind of got tossed out of Jerusalem, okay? He tried to go back to Jerusalem again and got tossed out. He was too controversial of a figure. So they basically kind of, you know, take him and they scoot him out of town at night, okay, and they get him out of town. Paul kind of, he goes back to his hometown area of Tarsus, and he's there probably for several years until finally one day he gets a knock at the door, and it's Barnabas, who he had saw at Jerusalem. And old Barnabas remembered Paul. And Barnabas thought, I've got a great ministry for you, Paul, to get involved in. I've got an opportunity for you. I've got a door of opportunity here. And that was for Paul to go back to a city called Antioch. And Paul, he asked Paul if he'd come to Antioch, where a great number of Gentiles had turned to the Lord and had believed on Christ. And he asked Paul to come back and minister with him in the church at Antioch. Well, go over to Acts 11 real quick, and we'll kind of look at some of these things as quickly as we can. Acts 11 is where this happens. And Barnabas goes and sees what's going on at Antioch in verse 22. And verse 23 says, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. And then look at verse 25. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus. And why did he go there? For to seek who? Saul. When he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. So old Paul gets that knock at the door. Barnabas says, man, I got a perfect ministry for you. I know you were controversial in Jerusalem, and I know there are a lot of controversy has swirled around you, but it's been several years now. I want you to come to Antioch. Got a bunch of Gentiles there getting saved, some really neat things going on. This is a perfect ministry for you. So Paul goes, and he begins to serve God in the church at Antioch. Okay? And think about the invaluable experience that this was for him. I liken it to this, okay? God knew he had this Gentile ministry for Paul, that Paul was going to be the instrumental man to take the gospel of grace to the Gentiles. Well, this is good training for him. He's going to work in a church now where there's Jews and Gentiles that have believed on Christ, so it's kind of a mixed culture there. And Paul's going to go now and minister there. It could be kind of like if a guy's going to be a missionary, say in Mexico, and he works in a Spanish church here in the States. Well, that's good experience for him before he's going to launch out and go be a missionary in Mexico. Well, here's Paul in the church at Antioch getting some invaluable training for his future ministry to the Gentiles. So here's what happens. If you go over to Acts 13, go over there. Paul and Barnabas eventually leave the church at Antioch. Verse 2, Acts 13, 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So Paul and Barnabas leave this church at Antioch, and they go out and they begin preaching the gospel of Christ in other cities. And if you go over to Acts 14, after they're at the end of their trip here, going from city to city, notice how Paul kind of sums it up. Verse 27, Acts 14, 27. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, the church at Antioch, their home church, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the who? Gentiles. So God had opened this door of faith to the Gentiles, and he used Paul and Barnabas to go out and do it. Now, if you go over to Acts 15, verse 3, They go to Jerusalem because there's a big stink, basically, about this gospel of grace that they're preaching among the Gentiles. A bunch of the Jews don't like it, and they think that Paul's this rebel, that he's trying to turn people from the law of Moses and turn people away from the rite of circumcision. And so, I mean, what he's doing was, in fact, it was pioneering new ground, okay? And so it was very controversial. So he goes to Jerusalem to defend the gospel he'd been preaching among the Gentiles. Look at verse 3, Acts 15:3. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring, notice what they were declaring to these people, the conversion of the who? Gentiles. And they caused great joy unto all the brethren. Skip down now to verse 12. Paul's standing now before these leaders at Jerusalem and the Jerusalem church. Verse 12, then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the, say it with me, Gentiles by them. Go over to Galatians chapter 2. The book of Galatians gives another account of Acts 15. And it talks, this is all about the Jerusalem Council. And notice in Galatians chapter 2 here, like I said, this is another account of Acts 15. So you got to get the time frame. This is Acts 15 time period. Galatians 2:1. Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also, and I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the what? Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation. Now, go down to verse number 7. It says, but contrarywise, when they saw, they being the leadership of the church at Jerusalem, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision, that's Gentiles, was committed unto me as the gospel of the circumcision, that's Israel, was unto Peter. Verse 9, and when James, Cephas, that's Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship that we should go unto the who? Heathen, the Gentiles. And notice they agree to confine their ministry to who? Israel, the circumcision. So what did they do here? Well, what they basically do here is they shake Paul's hand. They say, Paul, we recognize the ministry God's given you. We recognize it. And you go to the heathen, you do your thing out there among the Gentiles, we're going to keep working with Israel. So that's what happened. Y'all with me? Now, in your handout, it says over and over again, Paul affirms that his message and ministry were aimed directly at the Gentile church. Now look in your handout, I got a verse there, Romans 11:13. Paul says, say it with me, I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify mine office. Now, it's very important that you get this, and I want you to write this in your handout. Paul was not magnifying his person, but rather his office. Do not get the idea Paul was an ego trip. Do not get the idea Paul was an egomaniac. Do not get the idea that Paul went around preaching himself. Do not get the idea that Paul was full of pride and arrogance. When Paul said, the thing about magnifying, was he magnifying himself, yes or no? No, what was he magnifying? His office, the God-given position that God had given him. Paul was magnifying that. In your handout it says, he was given the office of Gentile apostleship. So that's very important to get that Paul was magnifying the office God gave him. Now, look in your handout at the bottom there, Romans 15:16. Show you a few verses about this. Romans 15:16. Paul said that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the what, church? Gentiles. Ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Now you're in Galatians, right? Go over to Ephesians, the next book. Ephesians chapter 3. Turn your handout over and then go to Ephesians chapter 3, please. Ephesians chapter 3, and this is good. Look at this. I want you to see this. This is going to help you in your Bible study. Okay, these are crucial to you. Ephesians 3:1, look at it. It says, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, For who? The Gentiles. You Gentiles. Paul calls himself the prisoner of Jesus Christ for the Gentiles. You know what he's saying there, don't you? Paul's writing this from prison. Hey, guys, church, ladies, guys. Do you know what landed Paul in prison? What landed the guy in prison was his commitment to take the message of grace to the Gentiles. And he bypassed Israel in doing it. That went against the prophetic plan. It caused a ruckus. It caused heated debate. It caused a big stir. And bottom line is, the Jews didn't like it one bit. And they ended up causing a riot, getting him arrested. Okay? It was Paul's commitment to the message of grace, taking it to the Gentiles. That's what landed him in prison. And that's why he said, I'm the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. It was because of his Gentile ministry. Hey, look, if Paul would have just confined his ministry to Israel and just dealt with the Jews, and if he'd have kind of went along with some of the ideas that you know, we got to keep the law of Moses and all that, he would have been fine. Nobody would have ever thought anything. But it was because of his message of grace, the divine revelation from the Lord he got, and taking that out there to the Gentiles, bypassing Israel, telling the Gentiles, you don't have to keep the law of Moses, you don't have to become as a Jew, you don't have to come through Judaism, you don't have to go through the rite of circumcision. He took them the message of God's grace through faith alone in Jesus Christ. And that landed him in prison. And just like there was some satanic fighting against it then, do you think there's any today? Yeah. Now, I hope I don't land in prison for it. Would y'all come visit me if I did?
Hey, Pastor Dan.
Now, I mean, I hope it doesn't land me in prison, but I got news for you. Did you know there are brethren that are right now around this world persecuted and in prison for preaching the gospel of grace? So don't get the idea this stuff still isn't going on today, because it is. We've got persecuted brethren all over the globe that are paying a dear price. And they're meeting maybe right now tonight behind closed doors. Maybe, you know, behind locked doors, or they're meeting secretly because Satan is still bringing great persecution against this message that Paul delivered to the Gentiles. Look down at verse 8. It says, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Give you something in your hand. I got to kind of hurry here because I really want to get to something at the end. Here's what Paul did. Now I want you to get this, and this is not in your handout. But Paul obediently magnified his Gentile office. Again, he didn't magnify himself. He magnified his Gentile office so that other people could readily recognize it. He obediently magnified his office. Now listen to me. No other person held this office before Paul. And Scripture does not record anybody replacing Paul. When Judas fell, Matthias replaced him. When Moses died, Joshua replaced him. When Elijah died, Elisha replaced him. But there is no record in your Bible of anybody replacing Paul in the office of Gentile apostleship. He is the apostle of the Gentiles, and he said, I magnify mine office, and nobody else said that, nobody else claimed that, nobody else replaced him. He still stands in the Word of God as the apostle of the Gentiles today. You understand that? In your handout, it says God personally ordained and appointed Paul to this office. And look at a couple of verses. Will you go to 1 Timothy with me, please, chapter 2? 1 Timothy chapter 2. God personally ordained and appointed Paul to this office. Paul made that clear. Look at 1 Timothy 2, verse 7. Paul says, he's talking in context, verse 6, about Christ giving himself a ransom for all, Jew and Gentile, to be testified in due time. In verse 7, whereunto I am ordained. I'm ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not. A teacher of the who, church? Gentiles in faith and verity. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Flip over a few pages. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Look it down in verse 11. Paul says again, whereunto I am appointed. So he used the word ordained in 1 Timothy. Now he uses the word appointed. I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. Now, church, listen closely. No other individual in your Bible is said to have the office of Gentile apostleship. There are many religious systems today that run back to Peter, and they proclaim Peter to be the one who is their chief spokesman. They proclaim that Peter is the one who laid the foundation of the church. But yet Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3:10, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. That's interesting. Paul said, I have laid the foundation. But yet religious systems today want to go back to Peter, and they want Peter to be the head of the church. They want Peter to be the beginning. They want Peter to be the one that is laying the foundation. Now, let me explain something to you important. In your handout, it says Peter and Paul both preach Christ, but you got to understand that they preach Christ in different ways. Okay? Here it is. You ready? Peter preached Christ as Israel's risen Messiah. I'm talking about in the early part of Acts. I got Acts 3 there as a reference. We read it last week. We're not going to go read it again for time's sake. Peter preached Christ as Israel's risen Messiah. Now listen, he preached Christ as the one who would come again to the earth, who was going to usher in Israel's kingdom if they would repent and if they would turn to him. Listen, Peter preached Christ as the earthly King of Kings, as the one who would return from heaven as the King of Kings. He preached Christ as the earthly King of Israel's kingdom. He preached that Christ would be the King of Israel's kingdom church. And Christ, in fact, will be the foundation of that kingdom church. He will be, yet in the future. He will return to the earth. He will be the bedrock foundation of that kingdom church to come. On the other hand, in your handout, it says Paul preached Christ as the risen head of a new organism called the body of Christ. Paul preached that the cross provides a complete and full payment for sin. And through faith alone in Christ's blood, anybody can be saved, forgiven. And you know what happens when you're saved and forgiven? Paul says, Christ will come and live and dwell within you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Paul proclaimed Christ as the heavenly head of the church, the body of Christ. Okay? There's more than one church in your Bible. You've got to understand that. Okay? There's the local church. Sometimes that's the context of the word church. It's speaking of a local church, like the church at Jerusalem or the church at Antioch. Sometimes the word church is a reference to the kingdom church that's going to come. There's even a reference that talks about the church that was back in the wilderness. The word church just means assembly. Okay? So there's an assembly back there in the wilderness with Moses. There was an assembly, a remnant of believers in Christ's earthly ministry. There was a church that is going to come in the kingdom, yet future. And there is the church, the body of Christ, today. To Paul was revealed the truth of the church, the body of Christ. Now, Peter, he didn't know all these blessed truths in the early part of Acts. But I believe, and I didn't hit on this last week, and I had a conversation with somebody after church last week, and we were, you know, enjoying a little bit of biblical conversation after church, and I was sharing with them, I think it was you, Brother John, we were talking about the fact that Peter did come to an understanding of some of the Paul's truth that Paul got. He came to an understanding of some of that, because if you read 1 Peter and 2 Peter, okay, books written later, okay, way after the early part of Acts, after Paul was saved, after Paul began to reveal this, in 2 Peter 3, I believe it's 15 and 16, Peter talks about the wisdom that God gave to our beloved brother Paul, and then he talks about in which some things are hard to be understood. You know, Peter's still kind of scratching his head on some of that stuff, okay? But Peter did get a lot of it. For instance, the blood atonement. Peter figured that out. He got that from Paul. Because you'll read in Peter's epistles how that Christ bore our sins in his own body on the tree. You didn't hear that from Peter in the early part of Acts. But when he wrote 1 Peter, he understood it then. He understood the crucifixion and the blessedness of it. And we see that. So Peter began to understand some of those things. Now, in your handout, it says, to Paul was revealed that Israel had been temporarily cut off, as the Gentiles were cut off. And I want to explain this, because this gets asked a lot. People ask me sometimes, well, what about Jews today? Pastor Dan, would a Jew today go to Peter to figure out how to be saved then? You say Paul's the apostle of the Gentiles. Okay, that was his office, but would a Jew today go to Peter's writings and Peter's thing in order to be saved? The answer is no. A Jew has to be saved just like a Gentile today. Here's why. The Jews lost their favored status. The Jews lost that privilege that they had before God when they rejected the Holy Spirit, speaking through the apostles and Stephen. They lost that favored status, okay? And they were, Paul said in Romans 11, cut off. Well, what are the Gentiles? The Gentiles long ago were what? Cut off. So now the Jews are cut off just like a Gentile is. So for a Jew to be saved today, they come just like a Gentile, one who's been cut off, but one who believes that Christ made a full atonement for their sin and that they can be reconciled and at peace with God by faith alone in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. A Jew has to come the exact same way as a Gentile today. He's got to come as one who's been cut off and come as one seeking peace and reconciliation with God through the finished work of Jesus Christ. Are y'all with me on that? So you understand where I'm coming from, there's no favored status anymore. Here's the deal. The Bible says, and this is the last thing we'll look at. Go to Romans 10, and this is the last verse, and then I'm going to shut it down here. Romans 10. And there's no difference today between a Jew and a Gentile. They got to come the same way because they've both been cut off. Look with me at Romans 10 and verse 11. In other words, if a Jew rejects Christ today, okay? And let me just make sure I make this clear. If a Jew rejects Christ today, okay, they will suffer eternal punishment in hell just as a Gentile would. Just because they're a physical descendant of Abraham does not give them a place in heaven. They have to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So sometimes people ask that and they wonder that. There's no difference today. Okay, look at Romans 10, verse 12. It says, for there is no what? Difference between the Jew and the Greek. Greek, just Gentile, okay? For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? So how does a Jew get saved today? Somebody tell me, how? Just like a Gentile. Look over at Romans 11. Romans 11, 32. Have y'all ever noticed that I have a lot of last verses that we look at? Have you ever noticed that? I'm sorry about that, but one verse gets me thinking of another one. But anyway, Romans 11, 32. For God hath concluded them all, and in context, that's Jew and Gentile, for God hath concluded them all in what? Yeah, everyone's concluded the same today. Everyone's been cut off and concluded in unbelief. But notice why? That He might have what? Mercy upon all. Amen, church? In your handout it says, now a Jew must come to Christ the same way a Gentile does, through the grace of God and faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. So get that blank. Let me give you the last blank. We're done. Let me put a chart up. Bring up that last chart, if you would, please. And this is just a little chart that I wanted to show you when we was talking about the kingdom and how Peter preached Christ as the foundation of that kingdom that was to come. Well, they preached it here. They offered the kingdom, preached Christ as that foundation of that kingdom, but it was rejected. So to Paul was revealed this mystery time period where now we're not preaching Christ as the foundation of an earthly kingdom. We're preaching Christ as the risen head of a living organism, the body of Christ. So that's what we're preaching today. We're preaching same foundation, it's Christ. But just as Christ over here, when the kingdom's established, Christ will be the foundation. He's also the foundation of the body of Christ today in this time. Now, in your handout, it says there is much confusion in Christendom today. So much confusion out there. So many religious systems, so many, you know, confusing things. And the answer is really simple. It's for people to recognize who their God-appointed spokesman and apostle is. And say with me, who is it? The Apostle Paul. Now, church, you know, you take all the different religions out there today, whether it's Buddhism, Hinduism, Muslims, and you could throw in a bunch of Protestant denominations and religious systems, okay? You could throw in a lot of Baptist churches, all right? But my point is this. Whenever you find a false religious system out there, I don't care if it's got the name Baptist on it or Catholic or Methodist or Presbyterian or Lutheran or Buddhist or Muslims, or, you know, I don't care what it is. And again, I throw Baptist in there because, you know, there's plenty of those too that are way off course. But regardless of the religious system, okay, that's out there, every false religious system has this in common. Okay, you ready? They do not recognize Paul as their apostle and spokesman. Their doctrine is in complete contradiction to the truths of grace that God gave to Paul. Every one of them. Their doctrine is in opposition to the truths of grace, and that deposit of truth that God gave Paul, they're all in opposition to that. They don't recognize the distinct apostleship of Paul. Okay? Paul is the apostle. When I say he was given that special Gentile apostleship, that's over the Jews too today, for this time period. Because, like I said, a Jew's been cut off as a Gentile today. So therefore, Paul is the apostle for the body of Christ. Okay, where in the body of Christ there is no Jew or Gentile. Paul is that apostle. And whenever you find people deviating from Paul's teachings, you get a religious system going. You get a false religious system going. And that's what happens. So I hope this is a help to you. Next week, I'm going to continue this, and we'll probably go another week or two. Why Paul? All right? Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word tonight. And God, I pray that all...